I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the School for Dumb Women, the podcast where we use a clever and very exclusive thing called Google to find answers to the questions we're far too old to be asking. I'm your host woman, old lady that swears at children riding scooters, Hannah Farrell. With me is ancient crone who won't leave the house when it's raining, Alexandra Haddo.
Umbrellas are a young woman's game, Hannah.
And writes regularly to her local MP about overgrown bushes, Caroline O'Donoghue.
They keep saying it's a personal hygiene issue, Hannah, rather than a public nuisance. And I disagree.
We do have a limited studio space in here, so I hope you can sort the issue out sooner rather than later. This week, we're talking about a fussy emperor who became a million-pound coffee shop, why we make sounds when we think things are funny, and then we're going to run off into the sunset with clichés.
Alex, today you're talking to us about something that you've been chasing for years.
Yes, Cliff Richard. No, of course I am talking about laughing.
You have been chasing the laugh since the day I met you and you haven't stopped.
I live for laughing. The other day my best friend said to me, she was like, you must care about something proper. And I was like, all I ever care about is having a laugh. And I know that's sad.
That's untrue. Sometimes you have opinions about plastic and Corbyn. Literally your two things that you'll be like, but guys, seriously. But everything else is up for grabs.
Oh my God, that is so my brand.
It is.
You know me so well. That is me.
I've been observing you for a long time.
Yeah, recycling, communism, and laughs. Like you say, there are some, I'm not a total like floopy mess, but well, I am. But you know, there's some things I properly care about. But I just love, I mean, I do stand up and there's no greater feeling than making a room of people laugh. That's something.
And for the record, everyone, Alex is very good at stand-up.
Oh, thank you.
To a point where I'm kind of weirded out that we've never like mentioned that you can do gigs and go to see Alex at gigs.
Oh yeah, you can come to see me at gigs. Please do tweet me if you want to come. Yeah, so I mean, obviously you can say this, what I'm about to say, about a lot of topics. You can say, oh, football's just like hoofing a bit of leather around a court. Yeah, fine. But laughter really is strange when you think about it. Do you know what I mean? It
why
is.
Are you doing that, Caroline?
Because it's like, why
what's
you...
she done to you?
Yeah, why do you do this when you find something funny? Finding things funny, I get.
Yeah, I know it's
but it's
weird.
Like, why do you suddenly like make these loud noises when you think things are funny?
Yeah, and what yeah. about like the silent laughter as well, where you just kind of can't move and can't breathe? Like,
yeah.
How
yes.
is that? How did that happen in evolution?
It's a bit like we did crying last week, didn't we? And
yeah.
it was just like...
That's kind of what inspired me.
You become incapacitated. Like, you can't defend or attack.
Yeah.
You're just like stuck in this feeling.
Yeah.
It's like laughter and crying are very similar and often next to each other.
And you can cry with laughter as well. I was obviously my first stop for anything is Wikipedia, and then I go around the internet finding stuff as questions come up. But essentially, like even when I was reading about laughter a lot, there's still not like a concrete reason why, like evolution-wise, why we do it. Mm. Like one of the things that I was really researching was why do you laugh when you're getting tickled?
Oh yeah, God, why? And why is tickling so awful?
And like, is tickling is you know
side horrible. Question,
like unquestionably the worst thing you could ever do to anyone. Mm. I'd rather be punched
that's
than tickled.
That's not like the creepiest word.
Tickle, yeah, yeah it is. Yeah, Mr. Tickle is
little
definitely
tickle.
The, yeah. They reckon, they being evolutionary biologists and neuroscientists, we laugh when we're tickled because the part of the brain that tells us to laugh when we experience a light touch, the hypothalamus, is also the same part that tells us to expect a painful sensation. So, and also because we get tickled in like soft, sort of vulnerable places like under your arms, your throat, they think that the laughing is a defence mechanism to show submission. like, don't hurt me, basically.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because I guess, like, yeah, if you've ever had, like, your ears pierced or whatever, or Alex and I both have a nose piercing, because we're cool.
I'm sorry.
But, like, you do have that kind of, like, like, just before it happens, when you know that, like, oh my God, the needle's going to go in, and you're like,
and also,
and it's really similar, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. It's such a weird thing. Like, it obviously, it releases endorphins and it makes you feel amazing and it reduces cortisol, which is a stress hormone. Like, that all makes sense to me. But the actual act of, like, why are you
just
like...
you're just exhaling a lot of air in quick succession for no reason. So,
yeah, the first
you're
line
just
of...
yodeling backwards.
Yeah,
really.
It is. It's so strange. And it's like, because Wikipedia is so bloody formal. It's like, laughter is a physical reaction in humans consisting typically of rhythmical, often audible contractions of the diaphragm. It's like... oh, way to fucking shit on laughter, Wikipedia. But also, just quickly going back to tickling, why can't you tickle yourself?
Because you know it's happening.
Because you know it's coming, yeah. The cerebellum at the back of the brain tells you that you're about to self-tickle.
Oh my God.
So the brain doesn't waste up precious time interpreting the signals from the tickle. Also, amazing, gorillas laugh, like humans, when they're tickled, as do... rats.
No.
But rats' laughter is too high for us to be able to hear, so you have to have like a special machine to hear
it. Oh, that's so horrible. I don't like that.
If a rat laughs in the forest and no one's around to hear it.
Yeah. And like not many other animals laugh. It's really only that, well, they think dogs and rats do, but it's basic. I mean, I don't know if that's really true. I was reading the dog theory and I was like, sounds like they're just panting.
What
to be
does it, yeah, what does the dog laugh sound like? Is it just like...
well, they think that panting is actually them laughing. And I was like, not true, because why would they find hot weather so funny? So it's essentially what I think, in my humble opinion, is, and what the kind of a lot of the internet was saying, it's only like chimps and apes and gorillas, which are like really similar to us, that laugh as well. But it's also innate, because you laugh from 15 weeks, you can laugh from about 15, 16
weeks.
Yeah,
babies
love laughing.
And like you could, obviously, if you laugh to a baby, they laugh back. So they learn, you know, you learn what's funny, but essentially laughing itself is like an instinctual behaviour. And they don't fully know what the evolutionary function is, which is almost nice to know. Like it's just pointless. Isn't that kind of nice?
Isn't it? I'm sure I heard somewhere that laughter is basically just surprise, isn't it? Like we talked, Caroline, you did a segment on jokes a little while back on podcast, and it was all just kind of like, you're just surprised by how the answer has changed. But
yeah,
maybe it's like shock in a way.
I'm taken aback, but like it's a physical thing, isn't it?
So, Yeah,
the whole purpose of a joke is that you're expecting one thing and it becomes another. That's essentially what it is. And like even when you listening to a joke, you sort of prime yourself the way you prime yourself for a physical blow. You're like, what is it? What is it gonna be?
Well, Sigmund Freud was like, oh, laughter is a response to tension.
Who's that?
Who bloody knows? Some bloke. He was saying it's like a reaction to tension being broken. Or like trying to break the tension, which is obviously very integral to comedy, like live comedy, building up tension and then breaking it. But it's really strange. And also, why do you laugh when you're nervous? Because it's because if you're nervous or you're uncomfortable, your body is reacting, but your brain is trying to process it as a happy thing to try and stop you like panicking, essentially.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah,
I have gotten in trouble for this before. And I'm really glad that you've explained it. Because I was having like a fight, a domestic fight, a disturbance.
Not physical, I was just picturing you and Gav wrestling.
And it was like one of those like 3 a.m, oh God, we're still fighting kind of things. And he was like, would you stop fucking laughing at me? And I was like, I'm not laughing at you. He was like, every time you try and explain your side of the story, you go, okay, Gavin, if you think that I'm da da da.
Yeah, I've done like, that in an argument before.
Yeah, it's the most annoying thing in the world to hear, but also you can't stop yourself from doing it.
Yeah.
And I consciously tried to stop. And then I realised it was, I hated myself by the end of that argument.
Yeah.
Or like all arguments.
If you get bad news or something, like if somebody tells me something really serious and I'm not expecting it, I start smiling. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not...
Oh, same.
I'm not laughing at the news. And it's your brain being like, I don't know how to react. Like, do it as a happy thing.
Yeah. Oh, God.
How very, very strange. Also, you're going to be way healthier if you laugh a lot. So basically, even though I'm really unhealthy and drink too much, I'm going to live till I'm 90 because I'm always lolling. And
what about that old... There was an old woman in the paper the other day who was like 160 or something, and she just said that every day of her life was miserable.
Yeah, I saw that, I was like, bloody hell, she's bucked the trend.
I guess she didn't listen to this podcast.
Yeah. Also, if you don't have a sense of humour and you don't laugh, like, if you don't find things funny, it's linked to possibly developing Alzheimer's. So that's cheery.
Oh, God.
Ooh. For you. Yeah, so a study in the year 2000 found that people with heart disease were 40% less likely to laugh and be able to recognise humour in a variety of situations.
But where's the cause and effect there?
Like, I know, yeah. Like, you've got heart disease and you're exactly. having a shit time. Yeah. Oh, there's also, I'm going to end on this very extremely weird fact. There is a very rare neurological condition that has been observed whereby the sufferer is unable to laugh out loud. So you literally cannot lull.
You can't lull!
And it's a condition known as aphonogelia. So,
I'd really like to understand why some people have weird laughs that don't go with their bodies, like Jimmy Carr.
Yes, I thought I was trying to look at that, but there's no real...
God. Is it just like in the same way that we each have different voices maybe?
Yeah.
Like it's something to do with kind of your the way your throat and like your voice box and everything is
positioned.
Made up.
The great thing about laughing is that complimenting someone's laugh is a short way of telling them that you want to sleep with them.
Mm. Yes, you know? It is, yeah.
Love
your
laugh.
Such a nice laugh. Fuck me.
Guys, I'm sorry to announce that actually I'm moving on.
What? Who's going to feed us and top up our water bottle?
Who will cut my toenails when they get long and rescue me from my hamster wheel when I get stuck?
I'm sorry, lads, I really am, but since I read about the subject of this week's Women Who Code Mixer, all I really want to do is go and live in a fancy house with 11 other teenage boys and earn loads of money in a sweaty hormonal mess.
You're going to have to explain.
So each time on the Women Who Code Mixer, we take an aspect of coding or tech or something and learn about it for a couple of minutes and then spend the rest of the time making jokes about periods.
I haven't had a visit from Auntie Flo in ages. Oh, hang on.
Alex, not in the seat.
Sorry.
We talked about bringing pads to work.
I know, but Ryman's had run out.
So this week we're learning about esports. Do you know what esports is already, either of you?
Okay, is this a category of porn?
Does sound like it though, right?
Wii Sports, I think.
That oh, that's Wii Sports. Yeah.
I got one of them for Christmas once. It's still in its box. I actually had an ex who works in this. This is his whole deal. This was like, we lived together, so this is like his whole thing. He kind of came home with esports facts the whole time. I actually once spent Valentine's Day 2014 at an esports event.
Oh no!
Oh my god!
Oh, well, you're going to know loads about this, so I guess we'll just educate Alex about esports and the listeners.
Yeah.
Hello!
My exes were all really cool.
What's that like?
They definitely weren't.
esports is huge, and it's basically multiplayer competitions using video games. It's normally like first-person shooters that you play in real time. It's not normally like The Sims or anything like that.
Rayman.
I love Rayman.
You kind of look like Rayman, Hannah.
Hannah doesn't have any elbows.
It does hinder me sometimes.
Yes.
Esports has been a thing for a while, mostly kind of on an amateur way, but it really took off in the late 2000s when participation by professional gamers and spectatorship as well, people watching it, saw a massive surge in popularity. And many game developers now actually design their games so that they can specifically be played in esports, which is kind of crazy. And professional gamers play for millions, literally millions of dollars or millions of pounds, whichever country you must be in.
What?
And like crazy prizes and stuff.
But who provides the cash?
Well, it's like any professional sport in a way. So if you are a professional esports player, you're going to be in like a league or a team or something. And just like, you know, football or rugby or whatever, you'll have a coach, a manager, training, you'll have boot camps maybe. There'll be a team owner, analysts, commentators, spectators, like we said, and sponsors, like huge brands will sponsor these people. And then also you think about the prizes, the prize money. There's so much cash in it. I can't even begin to emphasize how much cash there is in it. There's even an esports doctor in LA who specializes in like gaming wrists and stuff.
Oh.
And esports betting. People bet real money on it as well.
I'd love that. I bet people go in and be like, yeah, I've overused my wrist because of esports. That's what it is.
Sure it was, yeah. There's a purpose-built stadium even in China that holds 80,000 people just for watching esports, and obviously...
So you're watching other people play a game?
Yeah, but you're not even... Because what they're doing isn't interesting. They're sitting at a computer moving their wrist 5 centimetres, so you're watching the screens. So, like, really, you could be doing it from anywhere almost. I guess you get the kind of community spirit and you get to cheer people and stuff, but...
Like, if you think about normal sports... That is generally, like, well, just watching people run around, like, on TV as well. It's just, like, dots moving around a green field for the, like, 90% of film sports. But, like, video games, like, people work for years on creating these incredibly, like, vast spaces that now look amazing on screen. Like, why not watch them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really true, actually. That's a very good point. I guess to me it's just, like... It's a whole huge thing which I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, it's always weird when you sort of like scratch the surface of something and you're like, oh my god, there's an entire economy in this.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
I'm like, it's mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apparently the number of people watching esports online is higher than the number that watch the NBA.
What?
Wow, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. And they're considering putting esports in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. That is crazy.
That is crazy.
That is crazy because it's not a sport, it's a game. Like snooker.
Yeah, well, but where's the line, you know? Like, I wouldn't say snooker was a sport or darts.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But they
but
are.
They're not in the Olympics.
Oh, that's sad.
Do you love snooker?
No, but I respect its right to exist in the Olympics.
You can't win an Olympic medal whilst wearing a waistcoat. I'm sorry, but that is the line. I've created it.
I'm glad there's a hard rule for that.
The other thing that I found really weird is that often if you're a professional esports player, you will live with the rest of your team. So you will live with all of these other boys because predominantly it is boys, and you will train during the day for between like 8 or even 16 hours.
Like on the game?
Yeah, and like you will have like training drills on the games and like really strict schedules and like sort of, you know, special food that's going to make you focus more or whatever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And it's
they will never know the touch of a loved one.
Right?
But they do have a short career span because, like...
Their thumbs fall off.
Yeah, their thumbs fall off. Basically, you're best at these games between the ages of, like, 16 and 23. So by the time you get
really?
To anywhere near our age, like, you are done.
Why?
So it is essentially, it's like any kind of football academy, really. Like, you've just explained... Every football academy, right? They just pluck these kids from these talented kids from obscurity, make them live together, make them feel homoerotic feelings, punish those feelings.
Yeah.
And then turf them out when they're 30.
Yeah.
And then
also,
no wonder they're screwed up sexually.
Yeah.
And also, don't ever invite girls. There's like women in gaming is a whole thing that I'm not even going to get into at the moment. But there's a big thing in esports too, because if you have a girl on your team, then they have to live with you. And like, oh, boys and girls can't live together.
Oh my God.
So like there's a whole argument within esports about including women in it and how
I'm sorry, why
can
can't they live
work.
Together?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, because I feel like I'd have a great time.
So to finish off the Women Who Code Mixer, I wanted to ask you guys, what would we do competitively? Or what would women, you know, huge generalisation here, what would women do competitively if we had the money and support that these guys have? Like, I think we would be good at competitive periods. Gotta have a period joke in the Women Who Code Mixer. But then if you think about you'll be living together, so then rumour has it you would then, like, sync up. So that's quite cool.
Yeah.
Is it, or is it 1 week of hell for everyone? But yeah, best to get it out of the way at the same time.
Yeah.
Professional gossiping. Oh, don't you love a good gossip?
Oh, love it.
Who is shagging who? Tell me now.
Yeah. Oh, and like in the screens in the middle of the stadium, you could have like all the different Slack channels and WhatsApps and be like, oh my God, these people are gossiping about that person, but she's also gossiping to her
about
that person.
Yeah. Someone who's accidentally answered in the wrong WhatsApp group. But somebody who's in the WhatsApp group.
You've accidentally liked your ex's picture on Instagram.
Oh,
minus 10 points.
Or also, like, get the 10 women alive who are still using, like, mustache bleaching. Who's the best in that? Who's actually doing that so that you actually can't see their mustache and it's not just a load of white hair?
Competitive body hair disguising.
Yeah, competitive. Who can grow out their armpit hair the longest before they get, like, scared? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I always, like, I often go like these things where I'm like, I'm going to give up doing this now. Fuck this. I'm going to grow out my armpit hair. I'm going to be the 1970s. And then it takes about 3 weeks and then I start to crumple under the patriarchy.
It's not that, it's just that you get more sweaty.
Yeah. Mine is like, if I grew out my armpit hair, it would look like a 13-year-old boy trying to grow a beard. Like, I think my armpit hair is quite sparse, and so it would just look like, oh, she tried.
Oh, yeah, no, I like those girls that you see at festivals who have the lovely dyed, glittered armpit hair.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Amazing.
That's cool, yeah. I'd glitter it, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think those are all great ideas. And any sponsors that want to come in and sponsor us, or team owners need to buy our competitive armpit growing team, please contact us.
Hannah, there's nothing worse than someone who pulls out their acoustic guitar at a party, is there?
Oh, they're always singing Oasis. Yeah. Always. But it's actually, it can be worse if they're playing it while Rome Burns.
Is Rome Burns a band also?
or almost definitely. But
it does sound like a band.
Anyway, this week, my subject is Emperor Nero.
Ah, ooh. The coffee magnate.
Exactly. I always go past the coffee shop Nero, which
Cafe
is big in the
Nero
UK.
With two Fs.
Cafe Nero.
Why two Fs?
Caff Nero.
Caff Nero. Yeah, well, it turns out, the first thing I discovered, because I was like, ooh, Cafe Nero, who is Nero? Why is a coffee shop named after an emperor? Like, literally the first thing I found out was the easiest thing ever to Google. Cafe Nero is not named after the emperor. Cafe Nero in Italian just means black coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Fine.
But who was Emperor Nero, Hannah?
So, Emperor Nero, this is the other reason why I decided to do this, because my knowledge of the emperors and Rome is appalling. So I thought I should probably look into it. Nero, what a mess.
Was he a bad guy?
He was, oh yeah.
Just a messy bitch who loved drama.
Just so messy. Do you guys know about, Caroline, no. I feel like you're the kind of person who would know about emperors.
I know a little bit about Rome, did a little bit of it in university, I guess, but now both of you are looking at me at the same time, so I feel...
Tell us about the statues.
From what I basically gather, I think the Roman Empire franchised out too quickly, like it opened way too many shops in too many places.
Oh, too many Cafe Nero.
And yeah, and they couldn't control the brand or whatever. A bit like Five Guys now.
Oh, it's out of control.
I know. I reckon we got 2 years left of Five Guys before it all starts crumbling in on each other.
Agreed.
And then that'll be gone. So yeah, they couldn't control their franchises, and then they started, the brand started getting diluted and all fell around each other, and they, you know, sort of copped to it too late, and then they all died. Is that basically it, right?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I really only looked into Nero's day. So Nero, he was the fifth Roman emperor of sort of his little line. He lived from 37 AD to 68 AD. So...
Not long.
Just after Jesus died?
Well, 30 years after Jesus died.
Coincidence?
No. Hang on. No, so it's before his birth.
4 years after Jesus died.
Ooh. I think Nero was born.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't named Nero at birth. He was called Lucius Domitius Ahenobarbus. Ahenobarbus.
Or Nero to his pals.
Yeah, well, he only got called Nero when he became emperor, I think. But yeah, his childhood was like very messy. His dad died when he was 2 years old. And then him and his mum got exiled for a bit for some reason. Oh. And they were kind of loosely connected to the emperors. Like his mum was someone's cousin or whatever. His great uncle was Emperor Claudius, as in that film, I, Claudius, which I've never seen.
Oh, I've heard of it.
Have you seen that film?
No, I haven't, no.
Yeah, it's probably quite good. I watched the trailer for it and was like, ooh, dramatic 80s.
Is that one of the big sexy ones?
Film.
What's that big sexy Rome film everyone talks about?
Oh, is it just that BBC series, Rome, where it was just porn?
Or maybe. Maybe.
Yeah.
Could be. Yeah, so his great uncle was the emperor. His mum, who was called Agrippina the Younger, because there wasn't Agrippina the Older, she murdered her second husband, or, you know, might have done. And she was also the emperor's niece, and she married him in order.
Yeah, she's
to get
one
her
of the famous great slags of history, isn't she?
Like, she's
amazing.
Crazy.
And she's called basically Grab a Penis, Agrippina.
Yeah, I kind of
fucking good on you, lad.
Was looking into this and was like, I should have studied her, for God's sake. So she gets married to Claudius. He gets adopted by Claudius, Nero does. And then his mother maybe kills the emperor because
Bloody
he started
hell.
To...
I would watch this film.
Apparently he started to favour his biological son over Nero, and she was like, no, 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 we're not having that. Fed him a poisoned mushroom because he loved mushrooms. And and then Nero became emperor at the age of like 16 or something. But yeah, his mum, apparently they might have had an incestuous relationship.
This is very Gladiator, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
Crazy, yeah.
Busy little bee.
Oh, that sent shivers down my
spine. I think
spine.
Of that speech in Gladiator all the time when Joaquin Phoenix like, who's been a busy little bee?
Oh, he was such a creep in that film, wasn't he?
I know. And she was really controlling as well throughout his entire reign, was like trying to convince him to murder people. And like, you know, they did quite a lot of murdering back in the day. Seems so casual.
Wow.
Hobbies
like
and
in
interests.
The same way that someone gets like, you know, fired from the cabinet, it would just be like, yeah, this person has been murdered.
Yeah, total murders, left, right, and centre. Ooh, we should like try and find out what of the, you know, old royally type families were the most murdery.
Yeah, I mean, definitely could have been this bunch, because then 5 years into his reign, Nero had his mother murdered.
Plot twist.
Yeah, so what? He arranged to have her sent out on a ship that was like going to collapse as soon as it reached open water.
Ooh.
The ship collapsed, but she swam to safety.
Oh,
and then
my
he had to
God.
Send someone to murder her.
That would have been a great week
her.
To have Twitter, wouldn't it?
Yes.
God, imagine the hashtags.
And apparently her last words, this is according to something I read on Wikipedia, were, smite my womb. Because she had given birth to such an abominable son.
Wow.
Well, I'm sorry, but if you love murder and then your son loves murder.
I know.
Yeah. You've created that.
The murder apple does not far fall from the murder tree.
Correct.
That's kind of what I was thinking, because as well, he was so young when he became emperor. He was 16, right? That's so young.
That Harry Styles.
He's just, you know, and he's grown up, you know, in exile and, you know, with his mum murdering his...
Everyone.
everyone, basically, yes. So, you know, you can see where he got it from.
Yeah, yeah. Fair. No yeah. shame on you, Nero. You learned from the best.
He also had his wife killed.
Oh, fucking hell.
Oh, no, he had her. No, that's right. Yeah, he did have her exiled and executed and then married someone else. And then 3 years later killed her by kicking her in the belly in a Ooh. Casual outburst of rage.
If you killed your third wife, the problem is you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You're the catalyst here,
I think
pal.
So. There was a kind of weird aside here. He married two men as well. He married a guy called Pythagoras, a freedman, which
the triangle
was
the
former slave. Different guy, I think.
Common name.
In a public ceremony in which the emperor, he took the role of the bride. But it says somewhere it's like, yeah, he married a man. And somewhere it's like, yeah, it was a mock wedding and it was kind of all part of a game. Like, so hard to know, obviously. And everything's
He's too much of a square to marry that sexy triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Was he murdering the men or was that just was he just a misogynist?
Oh, he was murdering everyone by the sounds of it, yeah.
Oh, equal opportunities murder.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's like, oh, the only way I can get off is if I murder you.
So he was a big fan of, like, crazy orgies and stuff and decadence and kind of the thing you picture when it's like a Roman emperor. It's like, yeah, he
People
was doing
lying down
things.
Eating grapes and, like, dipping their feet in semen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Olive oil and semen.
Yeah. The hearty bomb.
During his reign, there was the Great Fire of Rome, which I'd never heard of. Have you heard of that?
No.
Yeah.
No? Well, yes.
Big fire, yeah. One of the top fires.
Oh, really?
Well, there we go. And this is the fire. So we said in the intro that he fiddled while Rome burned. And this is that fire, the Great Fire of Rome. It's 64 AD. I don't know why I keep saying AD. It's just like...
64.
The year 64. 0064.
Yeah, it's like saying 2018 AD.
Yeah, 2018 AD.
Wow, so he just like played his violin while Rome burned.
Well, I mean, basically.
If you want to talk fiddling while burning, it's me when I have cystitis. Sorry, is it now what, 5 episodes where we've mentioned cystitis? I have to keep it going.
It's a real issue.
Yeah, well, you have to keep reminding people of it because it won't stop reminding you.
I'm raising awareness,
True.
People.
Basically, yeah, there was a massive fire broke out and destroyed loads and loads of Rome, and it was a huge, awful, like, destructive thing. And no one knows exactly who started it, but he decided to blame the Christians, which was, like, a fledgling religion at the time. Obviously, Jesus had just died, and...
So he found a niche religious group as a scapegoat.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
So there's this idea that he was sort of didn't care about it and was just like playing music on his fiddle. But somewhere I read it was like, actually, fiddles didn't exist at the time.
Oh, bah.
But he might have been playing this other instrument.
It's like, Marie Antoinette was actually asking for a certain kind of brioche. Yeah. Shut up.
It's like, no one cares.
Stop ruining everyone's anecdote.
So all in all, I would watch the BBC adaptation of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think basically. It's called Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, so he was, and he was an ineffective leader as well, basically. Like as soon as his mum stopped making the decisions because he'd murdered her.
That'll stop it.
Yeah. he was, like, really bad at stuff. He tried to abolish taxes and everyone was like, no, Nero, that won't work. Like, nice try. And there was a huge, like, economic downturn and everyone was kind of like, it's your fault. But, you know, maybe it was, like you said, they franchised out too quickly.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have happened anyway, regardless of who the emperor was.
Yeah, true.
The thing I think what Rome is very good at is, like, it loves scapegoating. So they always find, like, minority groups like Christians or whatever, which is why burning Christians and all that was so popular, because, like, it's not our fault, it's these bloody Christians.
Yeah.
And we get rid of them. Look how fun we're making it.
Yeah.
Look how fun we're making getting rid of Christians. And then, like, when that fails, the Senate just sort of turns on the emperor,
yeah,
a la Julius Caesar, right?
Yeah,
also, they're good at pasta.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and salads. See the salad. So, yeah, they had all the cost as well of rebuilding the city after the fire and revolts in the outskirts of the empire. And someone conspired to murder him. So he went to Greece, like, on a holiday. And then he came back to Rome and I think basically found out that he was going to be killed and took his own life.
Oh, God.
And apparently, the historian Suetonius says that his final lament was, "What an artist dies in me."
Oh my God.
So he was pregnant too.
Drama.
With the next great American novel.
So yeah, I feel like
scratched
the surface of Nero, and he's got shit under my fingernails now.
Yeah. I'm going to read about him.
Yeah, I feel like my ignorance of Rome has been thrown into the light here.
Yes.
And I need to watch a Mary Beard documentary.
Yes, you do. Thank you, Nero.
Hey, dummies. This is a very special dumb announcement that, in celebration of Caroline's debut novel, Promising Young Women, and our first birthday, we're having a live show.
Oh, amazing. Okay, we should call it, like, a cool crossover name, like, Caroline's Stupid Novel or Dumb Caroline Book.
Or Promising Dumb Women?
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, if you like shit names.
Well, either way, some dummy at Waterstones, Tottenham Court Road, decided to host our live show on the 21st of June 2018. And you can come. Find out how to get tickets from our Twitter or Facebook at dumbwomenpod. Or email us, dumbwomenpod@gmail.com, for details.
Please come. I've worked very hard on my book.
It is very good. I have read it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Caroline, look, I sure hope your segment is up to scratch because I don't want to be sent on another wild goose chase with your weird overlong segments.
Alex, do you understand any of what you just said?
No.
Up to scratch. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Alex gave me a back scratch earlier. Is that
yes. Are you up to back scratch? Is yes. my segment up to back scratch?
Could you again?
So, full disclosure, I chose my subject pretty late today because I was I had loads and loads of deadlines. As some of you know, I'm a writer for a living.
Ooh.
Yes, I scratch my quill for shekels. And I was just having one of these days, and it happens sometimes, where you open a Word document, you've got all these deadlines, and everything you write is the worst cliche ever.
Yeah.
It's just, I was just, like, literally, I looked at, like, a paragraph that had taken me an hour to write, and it was like, we all have to bite the bullet on like what society is doing, and if my arm here and da da da, it was like just using these statements that have just been in use forever. That bad writers, when they're having bad days, just reach for it. They're just like, I can't really explain the feeling. I think every profession has those things. It's a bit like when you're a comedian and the room is getting a bit tense, so you just bring up Trump or Tinder,
because they're
topical and everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, and they're like Trump, Tinder, and Brexit, and everyone's sick of them.
Yeah, everyone's sick of it, but everyone's like, oh, okay, I'm going to recognise whatever this is, so I'll just sort of respond. I think that's what writers do with clichés like that. And the weird thing is that, like, you in comedy, you use that stuff because it's current and relevant.
Yeah.
But these things have been, like, in our cultural DNA forever, and it's so weird to me. So I decided I'd investigate my the ones I seem to reach for a lot and where the fuck they come from.
Yeah.
The first one I have is the bee's knees.
Do bees actually have knees?
No.
No.
Oh.
No.
Is it just because it rhymes?
Yeah, well, yeah. So apparently in the 1920s, and we've sort of talked about the 1920s before with a cryptic crossword thing about how everyone had just weird word game hobbies.
Yeah, there was like nothing to do.
Because there was no TV yet, I guess. Yeah. There was still a few years away, and obviously radio was happening, and there was a lot of like, oh, join in along at home kind of stuff. And radio was sort of the national pastime. But there became this weird sort of trend for like animal plus body part.
Oh, right.
Like, it just became this weird vocal tic that, like, oh, the elephant's wrist, the eel's ankles, the bullfrog's beard. It just became this thing that, like, radio comedians would say.
I'm totally, next time someone looks good, I'll be like, oh my God, you look like the buffalo's beard.
Yeah.
You look like the elephant's wrist. That's a weird one.
Yeah. And I think it's literally just because there was a radio boom and people were like, well, we got to think of more things to say.
I don't care, Ellen, if you want a career, you got to rhyme the parts.
You want to be a star, don't you? The dog's penis.
You're it.
Well, apparently cat's pajamas was a word going around in brothels and stuff, and it was sort of a slang for a vagina.
Oh,
I'll take that.
Yeah, so, you know, pussycats, you know, nightwear. It all makes sense.
Why must a vagina be a cat?
Always. Is it because it kind of has whiskers?
Yeah, maybe. And it was a little tongue.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's kind of sandpapery.
Delicate. Yeah.
Anyone?
Dry and scratchy.
Bites quite a lot.
Yeah. Sips milk.
So the next one I had was biting the bullet.
Is that to like test if the bullet is hard?
Oh yeah, no, isn't that something to do with checking if it's made of the right? No, that's when you buy gold.
Yeah, completely. What I found with many of these is like none of them came from where I thought they would come from.
Because bite the bullet basically means like just do it.
Just do it. Yeah. Well, apparently before anesthesia, soldiers who would get their amputated on the field of battle, they would literally bite down on bullets.
Wow. That makes sense.
Yeah, because I've seen leather straps in shows. Right, they always seem to be biting down on their straps when that happens. Also, I think that's my one of my top worst things for it to be like. I would rather watch a murder than an amputation. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
It's the worst thing you can watch on any kind of a show.
Yeah. Well.
So in a similar vein, chancing your arm. Where do you think that came from?
Oh, are you putting your arm into a mysterious hole? And you're like, what's on the other side?
I've never heard
no way
that
to find out.
Oh, so clue. It's still a military thing.
Oh, chancing your arm.
Putting your arm out of like a trench or something.
Oh, that seems closer, doesn't it? Rather than putting your arm in a hole. Which is something that never occurs.
I'm basically thinking of I'm a Celebrity.
Oh, yeah, okay, fair
enough.
I've
not heard this phrase. What does it mean? Like take your chance, basically.
Yeah, just take a chance on something.
Yeah, I would have said the same as Hannah, yeah.
Yeah, like from a trench. But no, it's actually because your old military uniforms, they would have like their stripes and their rank on their arm. And so if you were taking a big chance on something, you were, you know, risking your reputation and you could be deranked or whatever.
I love stuff like this.
So much of it does come from like naval stuff and military stuff, you know. It's because it used to be sort of
centre
of our culture.
Yeah.
I wish we could have badges on our arm for like how many episodes we've done, because guys, we've been doing this for nearly a year
now. So long.
We've been doing so well.
We're recording on a Friday night and we're all so tired.
Can you tell?
Can you tell? Get your goat.
Oh, I don't know.
So, really, if something gets my goat, it's annoying.
Yeah, it annoys
right?
you. Yeah, but yeah. I don't know where it would come from.
Maybe they've like put your goat and put it in your bedroom. And so you're like,
that would
oh,
piss
for
you
God's
off.
Sake.
It completely would piss
again.
You off. This goat follows me everywhere. Yeah. Like the reminder of my mortality. No, it's actually, this one's bants. So in horse racing, if you have a very like spooked horse, and you know those thoroughbred horses tend to be very like jumpy or whatever, yeah. you'd often put a goat into the stable with them to calm them down. And often, like before big races, very competitive horse racing people would steal your goat from your horse's stable.
Oh my god!
They and really got my goat.
Yeah,
what? And then the horse gets
the
more
horse
annoyed.
Gets pissed off. Yeah.
Oh, the horse's friend is gone.
You stole my friend.
He's like, I'm going to do a big race, and that was my moral support.
That's horrible, but funny also.
But also, yeah, yeah. I also enjoy it. It is bands. Cat out of the bag.
Oh, I weirdly know this.
Oh, do you?
But recently,
yeah,
a good friend, Kit Lovelace, an ex-guest on the podcast, told me that apparently people used to sell pigs.
Yes.
And then they used to discuss, like people used to be like, oh shit, I haven't got a pig, so I'm going to try and sell him a pig, but actually it's a cat. And they would wrap it in a bag to try and disguise
wow.
it.
Isn't that the most funny thing you've ever
the
heard?
The best thing ever.
So
and then so sometimes if you deigned to have a look at what the pig you were buying, they'd be like, oh no, the cat's out of the bag, as in, yeah. the secret's out.
As
it?
If you'd buy a pig in a bag.
Well, apparently wrapping them in bags
was
quite common.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. yeah.
Dead or alive, I don't really know.
I don't know either. Like, yeah. It's weird. Sorry to steal that from you. Then.
No, I'm glad you did. But it's kind of like the agricultural version of sort of like putting a pillow in your bed.
Yeah!
And then sneaking out. Like, you it never works.
Here's this pig. Don't look at it.
I thought I was so clever one time and I snuck out and I got an old girl's world head.
Nice.
And put it in there. Oh, obviously it didn't cool. work because it looked mental. But I thought I was so smart.
Yeah, like, because your parents were like, that's a doll, not
that's
our child.
That's a doll. All right, that's enough of me explaining things. I have a little bit of a game. It's
Yay.
Called Shakespeare or Nay-spear.
Oh, I like it.
It worked well written down. So everyone knows that lots of these phrases, they tend to come from Shakespeare.
Yeah. Mm.
So I'm going to say some of them and you're going to tell me Shakespeare or Nay-spear.
Okay.
So Shakespeare and not Shakespeare.
Yeah. Thanks for explaining that.
Great. Fair play. To say fair play.
Shakespeare. He liked fairness, didn't he?
Yeah, I'd say yes, actually.
That is indeed Shakespeare. It's from The Tempest.
Lovely.
Oh.
Mm. Above board.
No, I think Nay-spear. That's I think that's like a nautical thing.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I think it's about boats.
It is not about boats, but it is also not Shakespeare, so you
okay.
technically get a point for that.
Cool.
It actually refers to card sharks when they would keep their hands above the table, the card table,
oh.
so they wouldn't be cheating with an extra deck. Isn't that good?
God, that's good.
Card sharks.
I love
well.
Language. I really
Great
fell
yes.
in love. Yeah, let's do card sharks at some point.
Yes, let's become card sharks.
Yes!
Smart lesson!
It's all Greek to me.
Shakespeare.
Yes, Julius Caesar. Because actually ties in with your segment very
ah,
well.
Of course.
Julius Caesar, obviously a Roman, and he couldn't understand something. So
ah.
there you go. Over a barrel.
Shakespeare.
Hannah?
No, I think it's probably some kind of a non-Shakespeare.
It is Nay-spear. It is an ancient Greek punishment where you get a barrel of boiling oil and
oh.
drip it onto someone to
oh
get them to tell you things.
God.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
No, that's not very nice.
There you go. A red herring.
Ooh, not Shakespeare.
Shakespeare.
It is not Shakespeare.
Oh.
It's actually a dog training thing. So if you're training your dog to like hunt rabbits or foxes or whatever, you start with a fish first and like you drag the fish along the meadow,
yeah.
I guess, farming land.
Yeah.
And then the puppy learns how to follow the herring smell.
Mm.
And then when it starts tracking foxes, you use this herring smell to confuse it. So you're like testing it or whatever. So it's like you're essentially making it follow a trail that doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. So that's to do it in fiction is to throw someone, throw the audience a red herring means to throw them a clue that actually isn't relevant.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
The game is afoot.
Shakespeare.
Naysphere.
It is Shakespeare.
Oh, God.
So we obviously, you know, associate that with Sherlock Holmes, but it actually came from Henry V first. Raining Cats and Dogs.
Not Shakespeare.
No, not Shakespeare.
Correct, guys. I thought this was hard. It's not hard. Raining Cats and Dogs actually comes from Norse mythology because dogs were associated with Odin, who is the storm god, and like the howling wind would be like Odin's hounds.
Wow.
Oh. How good is that?
I like that.
Yeah. So concludes my segment.
Oh, I love that.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the temperature is above 18 degrees, so it's time to embrace the English summertime for the tricky witch she is. Do I sound like I'm on radio too?
Yeah.
Yes, if you're not gliding very easily into the infinity pool of chic summer activities, then fear not, we are here with our smart lesson, which this week is going to make you, in the words of Demi Lovato, cool for the summer.
Yes, it is. As we all know, summer is a huge time for kind of jealousy and FOMO, generally, right?
Yes, yeah.
Because you're still the same amount of tired when you get out of work, but you're expected to have like this weekend every evening?
Yes.
What's that about?
And you must eat outdoors.
Always, even though your food gets really cold.
Yes, and there's always wasps.
Always wasps.
And as soon as the sun goes behind a cloud, it's cold again.
So I want us to tackle today sort of the main kind of... cool, chic activities you're supposed to do this time of year, and the pitfalls and solutions. Number one being the park picnic.
Oh, God.
So you go there with your sort of your two bottles of Sol and some Tesco like pasta pesto.
Yeah, you've like bought loads of stuff that doesn't go.
But no
in
fork.
In Tesco.
Yeah, in a Tesco Express and the line is so long.
Yeah.
You're like basically back at the fucking gin and tonics.
Yeah.
Like the line is so long. And then you get there and then people have like beautiful blankets and like brie and things.
Oh, I know. Like proper cheese boards. Sometimes a fucking gazebo is up.
Yeah. I know.
Baskets, wicker baskets.
Wicker baskets.
Get a fucking life, Janet.
Get a life, Janet.
Yeah.
Also, those wicker baskets that have all the lovely bits in them, the lovely like plates.
Yes.
I got one of them as a present once. I was so delighted. They're so heavy.
Yeah.
You like cannot be single and a woman and have that basket.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you need to have a car.
You need
a car or a man.
Totally. Completely. They're such a farce. So the solution to that is to go into Tesco and buy a fuckload of pomegranate seeds.
Oh, yes.
Because they are the sort of the chic summer non-food of choice.
Okay, great.
If you're going to be caught dead with any seed, make it a pomegranate seed.
Oh, I've been caught dead with a few seeds.
All over your body, yeah.
I have a tip as well, which is if you don't want people to know that you got your, you know, pasta pesto from Tesco, then bring some Tupperware with you to Tesco or buy some there and decant.
Decanting in the aisles. Mm. Lovely. Very classy. The second one that I find myself prey to is people having parties on their roofs.
Oh,
do you guys happen to you a lot?
Yeah.
So they live in sort of like, you know, your standard London sort of like 24 floor block or whatever.
Sure.
And they're like, guys, party, rooftop, our house, Saturday. We live in California. No, we don't.
Yeah.
We live in a place where it's windy if you're up high. So you're up on this this sort of plateau, like overlooking... horrible.
Yeah.
From all sides.
The train lines. Okay.
The train lines.
Yeah, it's the overground.
And then, you know, the big Asda that's just 5 minutes away. But it's not. It's 25 minutes away. And people just keep popping out. Like, there never seems to be everyone who's at this party at once because they're always getting other things.
No one's ever truly at the party. Yeah. Everyone's always
so
just
true.
Like, just also, about to go to, you know, get some more tonics because actually lots of people bought gin but no tonics.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And that is my big tip, really. is
bring loads.
Bring soft drinks, bring ice, because no one ever remembers to buy it.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh, I'm such a big fan of bringing ice. If you invite me anywhere, I'll bring ice.
Oh, great guest. Great guest. Also, there's always like, because your friends probably live on like the fourth floor, so there's a massive queue for the loo.
Oh, God, yes.
And you just have to keep going down. And it's,
and also, like, because we're not living in a hot country where this actually happens, it's never like, oh, come up to my roof terrace where there is a purpose-built staircase for it. It's always like, well, you just have to climb out the bay window at the back and then like stand on the balcony edge and then like haul yourself up onto the roof, yes, where everybody is.
And there's always a weird little puddle on the roof as well.
Yes, there is.
It was like, it has not rained in a week.
Yeah.
Why is this puddle here?
Why is this here? Why just is constant. The puddle here?
The third biggest sort of like summertime activity you have to be caught dead doing is that some pop-up market where you're expected to spend £15 on something that you eat standing up from a tinfoil container.
Oh, or even worse, with those wooden sporks.
Yeah.
That like, give you splinters in your mouth. Oh,
and it's
so
always
bad.
Stupid fusion, like fish and chips, but from Japan.
Or it's always like vegan.
Yeah.
Somehow it's always vegan.
Always. I realise that we live in a very, we're very lucky to be living in a world city. It's also one of the most pretentious world cities on, on earth. And like, but I'm going to say we're over catering to vegans. All right. So the three other ones that I have not prepared answers for: music festivals, sun holidays and staycations.
Music festivals, don't go unless you can stay in a hotel. If you stay in a hotel, it's delightful.
Yeah. Or go to like a kind of one day event.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Sun holidays. You know, not too bad, but fucking hell, if you're white and you get sunburn, it's just awful.
What I always find with sun holidays is that I feel like I look amazing and then I see pictures of myself and I have that blazing red chest.
Yeah.
The absolute sheen on your face.
Oh, the sheen.
You're just like, wow, how did that happen?
And your hair looks like how your hair looked like when you were 9.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Just sort of like wavy and greasy and
but
strained.
Also kind of frilly at places.
Just
not doing anything. I think the important thing to remember here, though, is that smart women don't have to like the summer. Because actually, for a smart woman, your favourite season should be autumn.
Oh my God.
That's the most booky season.
Oh, that's true,
scarves and hazelnut lattes.
Like, burnt colours.
I prefer being indoors with my books.
Completely.
I just think the thing to admit is that we all go through all of these seasons and we can all be different people in all these seasons. Mm. So put on some shorts and then maybe you'll like summer more.
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts right now.
Agreed.
My legs are sticking together like a mermaid.
Well, that's it for another week of dumping on everyone, including ourselves. It's quite meta.
You can't hate on us because we're equal opportunities.
Thanks to Harry Harris for our jingles, Gavin Day for our logo, and Soho Radio Studios for the recording space. We'll be back next week with a new episode, so until then, wear sunscreen, kids.
Don't get burnt.
Eat a pomegranate.
Eat a dick.
My favourite thing about summer is actually in the evening when you've had sun cream on all day, you get to peel it off your skin. If you rub hard enough, it kind of peels off.
Oh, it kind of comes off in little oniony bits.
And that's summer.
That's your favourite thing about summer. It's a bit like when we talked about untold wealth last week and you were like, I want a bagel cutter.
I do.
Your small,
I do
small
want
existence.
A bagel cutter.
It was very bad.
You have the life of a borrower. Small hopes.
Small dreams.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.